Senate Finance and Claims will come to order. Cy, will you take the roll, please?
Vice Chair Glenn?
Here.
Vice Chair Ellis?
Here.
Senator Solomon?
Excused.
Senator McGilvery?
Here.
Senator Boldman?
Excused.
Senator Bartel?
Here.
Senator Mandeville?
Excused.
Senator Morgeau?
Here.
Senator Lenz?
Here.
Senator Lang?
Excused.
Senator Lynch?
Just here.
Excused.
Senator Bogner?
Excused.
Senator Cuff?
Excused.
Senator Flowers?
Here.
Senator Fuller?
Excused.
Senator Vance?
Here.
Senator Pope?
Excused.
Senator Wellborn?
Here.
Chairman Esp?
Here.
We have a quorum of 10.
Thank you, Cy. So, members of the committee, we got five bills to hear, and we are supposed to be on the floor in 45 minutes, so we'll do about a seven-minute hearing on each bill. So you're up, Representative Gillette. You got about 2 minutes to open, and we'll take her from there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Representative Jane Gillette. I'm from House District 64, and I'm here today to present to you the fiscal note for HB 544, which provides requirements for coverage of abortion services under Medicaid and CHIP. Mr. Chair, just today I received notice from Director Brereton. I don't know if you remember this from when you were on the floor today, but this bill is nearly identical, actually identical, to a rule that has been put forward for notice, and that rule goes into effect on May 1st. And so to the extent that the department is already enacting this law starting this May, which would already be considered within their budget, I'm not even sure there's really a fiscal note for this, Mr. Chair.
All right. We'll take any proponents in the room, proponents. If you're online to testify on House Bill 544, raise your hand. Otherwise, we'll go to opponents. Seeing none or seeing one, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'll be exceptionally brief. Given there may not be a fiscal note, I'm not sure how much I should say, but we just believe that we don't.
Ma'am, could you introduce yourself?
Oh my God! Sorry, yeah,
I've
been here a while. Quinn Leighton, L-E-I-G-H-T-O-N, Director of External Affairs for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Montana. We believe that the process as is working, so we don't feel like any additional cost to the state of Montana is warranted. So for those reasons, we oppose. Given the current potential adoption of the rule with DPHHS, unclear what this looks like. Thank you.
Thank you. Any informational witnesses in the room? Mr. Hermanson.
Good afternoon, Chairman Esp, members of the committee. Gene Hermanson, HERMANSON, Medicaid Chief Financial Officer with Department of Public Health. I can speak to the development of the fiscal note, which was based on present law, which was before the implementation of the new rule that the sponsor spoke of. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Seeing no further witnesses anywhere, questions from the committee? Questions? Seeing none, Representative, would you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for a good hearing, and I ask for due pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. This closes the hearing on House Bill 544. Representative Buttrey, we will open the hearing on House Bill 881.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the Finance Claims Committee, I'm Representative Ed Buttrey. I represent House District 21. And I bring before you the fiscal note for House Bill 881. House Bill 881 is a bill that was requested by the Department of Commerce, and what it simply does is takes multiple economic development programs within the department and consolidates it into one larger program. Right now we have numerous programs. We dilute economic development money into these various programs. They all have different application requirements. different use of money. So we're consolidating into one single program, reducing the administrative burden and allowing more money to go towards Montana businesses trying to grow. If you look at the fiscal note, going through the assumptions, you'll see there is a general fund impact in out years, fiscal year 26 and beyond, and that's simply because in the bill we extend the sunset on the Big Sky Economic Development Fund from 2025 to 2035. Those were monies that would have gone and impacted the general fund had this development fund sunsetted. All the other dollar amounts that you see are just in and out, and that's coming from other sources of the current programs. What this bill does is it redirects interest payments and service charges from the microbusiness loan program, transfers the balance of the microbusiness administrative fund to this new program or to the existing Big Sky Development Economic Development Fund, transfers the balance of the primary sector business training account to the same fund, and then transfers various defederalized funds also. And so we end up with one program, less administrative burden, and more money for Montana businesses.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. Any proponents? Proponents to 881. Ms. Taylor.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Leanne Taylor, L-I-A-N-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R. I'm the division administrator for the Business MT division at Commerce, and I think that the representative did a great job on explaining those. You know, the funds that are shown are basically passed through either from operating expenses, from grants to operating expenses, or from federal special revenue to state special revenue. Happy to answer any further questions you might have, but the department would respectfully ask for a due pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Seeing no further proponents, any opponents? Opponents, informational witnesses? Seeing none, questions from the committee. Seeing none, Representative, you did a good job explaining it. You can close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. I close.
Thank you. This closes the hearing on House Bill 881. I wonder if somebody could text Representative Tuss, Representative Beatty, and Representative Hopkins. We will do executive on those two we just heard. After we do a little texting here. BD, Tuss, and Hopkins.
I got Hopkins.
Do we have enough? Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, Logie's here. We're short a guy, so we're going to
have
need
a bill.
I don't... Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, never mind.
I don't think Logie has a bill.
Yeah, because we're right at 10.
Are we at 10?
Right at 10.
Okay.
I think.
Move this one. Move.
Mr. Chairman, I move do concur on House Bill 544 by Representative Gillette.
You've heard the motion. We just heard the bill on the floor and in here. Any discussion?
Question.
Roll call vote.
Vice Chair Glim?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ellis?
No, by proxy.
Senator Solomon?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator McGilvery?
Yes.
Senator Boldman?
No.
Senator Bartel?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Mandeville?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Morgeau?
No.
Senator Lenz?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Lang?
Yes.
Senator Lynch?
No.
Senator Bogner?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Cuff?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Flowers?
No.
Senator Fuller?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Vance?
Yes.
Senator Pope?
No.
Senator Wellborn?
Yes.
Chairman Esp?
Yes.
13 votes yes, 6 votes no.
Motion carries. House Bill 554 544 has been concurred in and Finance and Claims. It will go to third reading.
Mr. Chairman, I move to concur on House Bill 881. This was by Senator Buttrey. We just heard it, generally revising laws related to development, economic development laws.
Any discussion on the bill? Senator Lang.
Mr. Chairman, I might have missed it, but just why in 26 and 27 do we have that money coming out of general fund? What was that for?
It's because the sunset is falling off then, so we're just extending the sunset.
And that money's in there before the sunset then? Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I felt a little better about the bill after I heard the representative introduce it. Question's been called. We need a roll call vote.
It's a voice.
Voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, no.
Senators Solomon, Mandeville, Bogner, Cuff, 4, all vote aye by proxy.
Okay, motion carries unanimous.
Vote.
That's enough out of you. Motion carries. House Bill 881 has been concurred in Finance and Claims. It will go to third reading. Representative Tuss, welcome. You may open on your seven-minute hearing on your bill.
A lot of wind.
We open the hearing on House Bill 898. Representative Tuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Paul Tuss. That's spelled T-U-S-S. I represent House District 28 in northern Montana, including the city of Havre. I'm pleased to present you today with House Bill 898, which is a bill that will amend Montana's Microbusiness Development Act, expanding the definition of a microbusiness. The amount of funding eligible businesses can be lent through this program and adding a significant investment into the program itself. The Act has been around for decades and has worked well at helping finance Montana Main Street businesses. However, this program has much more potential, and this particular bill, House Bill 898, will transform this important business finance program into a significant source of capital for companies that are already established, as well as entrepreneurs interested in starting their own enterprise. As someone who has worked in the field of economic development for more than 25 years in rural Montana, there is one finance mechanism that continually stands out above all others in truly helping to build businesses in our state, and that is a robust revolving loan fund program. A program administered by intermediaries who finance private businesses who may need funding to fill a gap in financing they've secured from a bank, or perhaps it's someone who has a tremendous idea but can't secure financing due to an inadequate credit score because of something like a medical bankruptcy. Or maybe it's a younger couple just starting out. Whatever the circumstance, having access to capital through Montana's microbusiness finance program can and will make all the difference in helping to assure entrepreneurial success in communities large and small across our state. For the financing on this is a one-time only ask of $5 million. But given the very nature of revolving loan funds, these funds will continue to build Montana's economy forever. As loans are paid off, new ones are made, and the cycle continues. I'd encourage the committee to take this opportunity that we currently have with the finances of our state to invest in a proven program that will help our main streets thrive, put people to work, reward entrepreneurial drive, and build Montana's economy in every community. I certainly urge you to pass.
Thank you, Representative. Proponents in the room. Proponents, if you're online on this bill, House Bill 898, and you want to testify, raise your hand. Any opponents in the room? Opponents? informational witnesses. Questions from the committee. Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the sponsor.
Representative.
Mr. Chair, Senator.
Mr. Chair, Representative Tuss, since we don't do dynamic fiscal notes, it's hard to project the benefits of this. Have you kind of done your own quick calculations on what you think this might translate into in terms of tax revenue down the road?
Mr. Chair and Senator, I wish I could say yes, but I have an answer for you. My organization, the one that I've worked with for 22 years, we are a microbusiness development corporation. We have been a microbusiness development corporation since this program began in the state of Montana in the early 1990s. The same money that we got, that initial tranche of money that we got from the Department of Commerce, you know, I think it was 1992, we're still holding on to. But we're not really holding on to it. We're lending that out. And so as I give money to you and you pay me back, and Senator Lang darkens our doorstep, we lend it to him, and the cycle continues. What's wonderful about this program is I can guarantee the state of Montana will not lose ever a nickel on this program. We're on the hook. The organizations who lend, by the way, this is not a grant to these organizations. It's a loan. So there are two loans. The state of Montana loans to these intermediaries, such as my organization, Bear Paw Development Corporation, and then we loan to entrepreneurs who need these funds. The agreement between our organization and the state of Montana guarantees that if one of these loans goes south, it's on us. The other good thing, Senator, and I'm expanding on this answer a little bit, thank you for the liberty of doing that, the state of Montana makes a little bit of interest on this, right? On a quarterly basis, our organization and the other certified microbusiness development corporations, we're sending a check to the Montana Department of Commerce for 2.75% of the money that we're holding. So there is a little bit of money coming back to the state. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further questions, Senator McGilvray?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Representative, so are you essentially borrowing the money from Department of Commerce, which then you in turn loan at another interest rate?
Senator,
is that exactly how it works?
Exactly. Yes.
What, and follow-up? Well, so what's the rate you would charge to those micro-business borrowers?
Mr. Chair and Senator, we have a policy of not competing with banks. So if you're going to come and get micro-funding from my organization, we will probably, the interest rate for you, if I'm lending money to you, will probably be 2 points above New York Prime on the day that we close the loan. So I don't know what New York Prime is, Senator, right now, but whatever that is, add 2 points. We would rather have you at a Main Street bank. We don't want to compete with the private industry. That's what's so, one of the things that's so special about this program.
Well, follow up. So typically then, these are individuals that, for whatever reason, are not able to secure financing from a bank, so they would come to your organization. So they'd be a little bit higher credit risk. Would that be clear? True?
A little bit higher
credit risk.
Correct.
And one last question.
Yes.
So I think I heard you say you've had no defaults, or?
Senator, thank you for that question. Mr. Chairman and Senator, I'm of two minds on that question. That's a wonderful question. Our default rate is low. Our default rate... And I wish I had a number to tell you what our default rate is, but it's very low. I sometimes think that we're not as risky as we should be. And maybe that's not the answer I should have trying to get this bill passed. But if we are truly what's considered, and I don't like this term either, the lender of last resort, that's what we're known as, the lender of last resort in Montana. If we're the lender of last resort, and you have a great idea, and we're willing to invest in you, there's a part of me, as an economic developer, that thinks that our default rate should be higher because we're taking the riskier deals, right? But let me tell you why I don't think our default rate is higher. It's because within the context of the organizations that are these certified microbusiness development corporations, most of us, if not all of us, and certainly in the case of us, it's true, we are also a commerce-funded small business development center. So in addition to the lending that we do, we also have business counseling services over here, just typically across the hallway in our case. So if we can see that you're getting into some trouble, or if you've got a question, or if you can't even put your business plan together, we provide free, confidential, one-on-one business counseling, and I think that that is part of the reason why our default rate is so low.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative.
Senator Lange.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Tuss, or Representative Tuss, what is the your chairman of your board, what is their career in? Who do they work for?
The chairman of our board is actually the vice president of one of our local banks, Independence Bank, which, as you know, has a pretty significant presence on the High Line. We have a lot of bankers on our involved in our organization. And, Senator, if I can expand on that just very briefly, we also have a loan review committee, right? We have a local loan review committee. So if you're borrowing money from Bear Paw Development, we're just like a bank. We have to get approval for that from a loan review committee. And on that loan review committee, there's multiple bankers.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Follow up.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Tuss, so the communities you serve, what kind of financial obligations and how far do you travel along the High Line and north-south? But what financial obligation do they secure to you every year?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Lange, thank you for that question. We are, although headquartered in Havre, we are a regional organization, and we actually serve a very large region along the High Line, five counties, and two Indian reservations. And our loan portfolio, we have loans in every single one of those counties and reservations.
Thank you, Representative. I got one quick question before you close. What have you done in the last 30 years to improve your default rate? Because most of the projects were done in my town 30 years ago. All didn't work. I mean, they all went back to the city or went back to somebody.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for that question. Not all projects are going to work. And to answer your question directly, what we've done over the last 30 years is work intensely with those entrepreneurs when there's a problem. And as I was referring to earlier, we are a regional host of a small business development center, so we provide that one-on-one counseling. And I honestly believe, Senator, that the best thing that you can do to assist an entrepreneur, in addition to perhaps funding their good idea or their business plan, is to have that free confidential counseling from a professional that knows what they're doing to help with the default rate. And that's one of the things that we have done, Senator.
All righty, Representative. Close on your bill, please.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for this good hearing. Thanks for the great questions. This is a good program. And as you may or may not know, this has had a good sailing in the legislature so far. In both the House and the Senate, we have received very good bipartisan support for this. I will say that this is a bill that received a very significant haircut in the Appropriations Committee, of which I am a member. This started out at $30 million. It is now a $5 million request. To be candid with you, the very, very first conversation I had with anybody about this bill was with the director of the Department of Commerce. And privately, he said, this needs to be a $60 million ask. Well, I knew that was going to be too much. But the need is in Montana. The need for this type of capital exists throughout our state in small communities and large cities. And we have never invested in this program beyond the initial tranche of money that the legislature invested in this program back in the early 1990s. I think it's time to invest in the micro program, and I certainly urge you to pass.
Thank you, Representative. This closes the hearing on your fine bill here. Let's open the hearing. Representative Beattie, are you ready? And then I'll get to you, Representative Logie. I didn't notice you, but I'm going to do you anyway since you're here. Representative Beattie, you may open on House Bill 949.
Thank you, Chairman Esmond, members of the committee. For the record, my name is David Beattie, representative of House District 86, which is comprised of Hamilton and the immediately surrounding area.
And I Representative, know that, just before you start, we're doing seven-minute hearings on bills, so just so you know.
I will do my best to keep it to 5 minutes, Chairman Esp. You heard this bill recently. It establishes a board for the appropriate and secure governance of data sharing between the Department of Labor and Industry, OCHI, and the OPI. It provides for the creation of a board that is empowered to do that, and that is the purpose of the appropriation in this particular bill. I'll stand for questions.
Great. Thank you. And committee, the appropriation's on page 9, $100,000 each year. Any proponents of the bill? Any proponents in the room? Proponents online. Ms. Nashen, are you on House Bill 949?
Yeah, I wasn't sure because I was looking on the agenda for today if you'd already heard 862 and 544.
Yes, we have. They were the first ones here. You're welcome to put in written testimony to the committee, though.
Senator S., will you please allow me to make verbal testimony on these bills? You just scheduled this hearing today, and I've been following both of these bills super closely.
Yeah, Ms. Nash, and if you'll wait till this hearing is over, we're on this bill now. I'll allow you at the end of the meeting to make testimony on those other two bills briefly.
Thank you so much, Senator S. I appreciate it.
All righty. Any opponents? In the room, opponents online, informational witnesses.
Yeah.
Seeing none, questions from the committee. Seeing none, Representative, you care to close on your bill?
Chairman S., members of the committee, as you can see, there's an appropriation of $100,000 a year for each year of this particular biennium. This is predicated on some analysis or just some, you know, very rough analysis done by the Department of Administration, who is responsible for putting this together. They anticipate having to have some legal costs reimbursed. They provide services, and they would be thus providing services to this particular board as they establish this. I will give you my opinion for what it's worth for the board. I frankly think on a $100,000 for the biennium should be sufficient for startup costs, but I will leave that at your discretion. And I'm pretty sure I'm under 7 minutes, so I'm going to close with that.
You were 2.5. You were great. Closes the hearing on House Bill 949. Has anybody got a hold of Representative Hopkins?
Present the bill in state admin.
So if
I presented it.
What bill's Hopkins going to do?
All right. Well, you want to go up there and we'll here. You got the bill. Wait, that's mine. Yeah, that's Hopkins. Are you ready, Senator? We'll open the hearing on House Bill 862.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Carl Glimm, GLIMM, Senate District 2, and I'm here to present for Representative Hopkins on House Bill 862. This is the no use of public funds for abortion. We just heard it on the floor. Just mirrors the Hyde Amendment. Mr. Chairman, with that, I'll sit and wait for questions.
Thank you. Are there any proponents in the room?
So it's to the good.
Proponents in the room for the bill. 862. Any proponents online? Any opponents in the room for House Bill 862? Welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Quinn Leighton, L-E-I-G-H-T-O-N, here with Planned Parenthood Advocates of Montana. And we are in opposition to this. We just want to point out that we believe that what is not reflected in the fiscal note are additional expenses to the state as a result of prohibiting public funding for abortion care. That would be in the form of labor and delivery, those services after an infant is born for parents who need other forms of public assistance. I believe that it would be in the high thousands, maybe low millions of dollars to the state of Montana. So I just want that reflected on the record. And for those reasons, we oppose. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Leighton. Welcome, Representative. You may come up to the seat next to Representative or Senator Glimm. He just opened on your bill, so you can just sit for questions. Any other opponents online, raise your hand if there is. Ms. Nashen, we're like 2 minutes a person right now, so you go right ahead.
Hello, Senator S. Thank you so much, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Keegan Nashen, N-A-S-H-A-N, and today I'm testifying on behalf of myself. I'm a woman of reproductive age in Montana. I was born and raised here. It is my home, and it is this place that I love. I oppose this bill because I'm currently on Medicaid. I had an abortion 5 years ago when I was living abroad. When I found out that I was pregnant, I had no doubt in my decision. And if I'd been in Montana, and if this law comes into effect, I would have not been covered by my health insurance for my abortion care. By this definition, my abortion that I had would be considered elective. I was working for 2 years with refugees over in Europe. I was 106 pounds. I weigh 120 pounds, soaking wet right now. And I was unhealthy. I was unable to grow a healthy child. And when I have a baby, which I want so badly, when I have a kid, I want to give myself every opportunity to grow a healthy child. The decision that I had to make is something that I don't know. No person that I've spoken to over the course of my time advocating has told me that they wanted to have an abortion. It's not like some flippant thing, right? It's a really difficult and palpable decision. Senator S., you and I have spent time talking about my abortion in particular. You and I, you've given me time. Like, we almost cried together in Coffee Crossing. Need you not remember? Like, can you take that story? I will share any part of that story with anyone in the room that you are in today. It is so important that we maintain access to this type of health care. It is our right to make these decisions. It is my right.
Thank you, Ms. Nashen.
Decide when force me to carry a pregnancy to term, Senator S. It's not your right. And abortions will continue to happen regardless, but this will cost the state more money. And it's also not the same definition as the other bill that's being proposed, which sort of proposes the exact same thing. So I think that everybody's kind of doubling up on things here and just sort of being super overwhelming. And I'm really frustrated that this is still an issue because it shouldn't be. So I'm urging you, please, please, Senator, to vote no. I sent you all of the public comments that I received on this video. I sent you all of them. They're members of our community, of yours
so,
and my community.
Ms. Nashen, I'm going to have to cut you off. I'm sorry. We have a hard stop here in about 8 minutes. Thank you for coming and testifying. Any informational witnesses in the room?
Chairman S., members of the committee, Gene Hermanson, Medicaid Chief Financial Officer, can speak to our fiscal note, and also we have our Chief Legal Counsel on the line as informational as well. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee then? Flowers, Senator Flowers.
Mr. Chair, for the sponsor.
Representative Hopkins.
Mr. Chairman, Senator.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hopkins, I am confused why we're kind of being for sure here with Senator or Representative Gillette's bill and now your bill related to public funds. On the one hand, we're setting limits or parameters on use of public funds, and then in your bill, we prohibit the use of public funds. Is there any coordination language needed there, or what's the point? I don't understand the doubling up. It seems like hers wouldn't be necessary if yours passes.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, well, I certainly don't want to be here trying to represent that, you know, this bill's great and the other bill can go ahead and go away. I'm not too familiar with it, and it might just be because of the hour-long hearing that I just came from. But what I would say the point of the bill is to specifically say, like we do at the federal level, that tax dollars, state tax dollars, cannot be used for elective abortions. Not saying anything about abortion being legal, not illegal, or illegal, nothing about it, just that state tax dollars should not be going to pay for elective abortions. Mr. Chairman.
Further question? Further questions? Seeing none, Representative, would you care to close on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, first, apologies for being tardy, but the individual that was here covering for me does a better job than I do anyway, so I feel like, if anything, you got the bonus part of it. We had had a conversation about whether or not there was a conflict between this bill, and I imagine the bill that's up next that you're going to be talking about, the sponsor and myself, got together after reading through them. We did not believe that there was a conflict between the two. We think that the two does cover different things, and in the case of 862, it just specifically says state tax dollars should not be used to pay for elective abortions, which I think is pretty common sense and has been the going forward agreement here in the United States for the better part of 40 years. Mr. Chairman, again, apologies. With that, I ask for a due pass on House Bill 862 and close.
This closes the hearing on House Bill 862. Members of the committee, I'm going to do something a little out of the ordinary. I'm going to allow Ms. Noshin to hold forth for about a minute and a half on the other bill if she'd like. Raise your hand if you'd like.
I would appreciate that very much. Thank you so much, Senator.
State your name and your spell it, please.
My name is Keegan Nashan, N-A-S-H-A-N. I am out at Livingston. I oppose these bills because it puts undue burden on Medicaid recipients to try and access abortion care. It's taking away access for the poorest people in our communities. It's not something that we can forego if we force the poorest people in our communities to have these kids. The infrastructure that we have in place is not sufficient to provide for them. I'm deeply concerned for the people in my community and the people who really, truly support me. I've heard so many stories, and people that I know, who I love, have accessed this abortion care through the Medicaid program. It has significantly improved their lives. They are, by and large, mothers already. They have children. It's like more than 50% of people who have abortions in Montana have children already, and it's like 95% of them happen prior to 13 weeks. It's so important that we maintain access to this care. In all of the other states where these bans have taken place, second trimester abortions have skyrocketed, and they're by and large being self-managed by themselves. This isn't effective. People will continue to have abortions regardless of their legality and their accessibility. And I truly, genuinely believe that we need to trust the women in Montana, the people who are making these decisions, to make those decisions for themselves, because we know our own capacity. I wasn't capable of being a good mother.
Thank you.
Give that opportunity to every Montanan. Thank you so much, Senator.
Thank you. And thank you for coming. Thank you, Ms. Stenard. I guess you were on this bill. I don't know what bill you were on. You never raised your hand, so we will close. Okay, so I think we're good. The hearing's closed. We're going to open one more hearing. Representative Logie, we don't have your bill in front of us, but we're going to, since you're here and we have you on the schedule, we're going to let you go. We open the hearing on House Bill 520.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. I didn't realize I was going to be here either. I was walking down the hall and said, you got to get in there. They want you. So I'm here without the paperwork, but I'm on the study bill for pond studies for the state. And here's what's happening.
Did you introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. Denley Logie, House District 14, L-O-G-E, House Bill 520. And what this bill is, it's a water study bill, and it has a price tag on, according to the fiscal note, of $100,000. And I know people would put that in question, but when you start building ponds that are illegal, when you start putting fish in ponds and have to do the study to say what effect is this having on our aquatic life, the invasive species, to be able to do the study, the state is charging such a small amount on their permits presently. So I think you start doing even a water study of any kind to test what the effect of putting water in a pond from a water right, especially if it's illegal. And if you do the water study downstream, even personally, I have one that would cost $10,000 just to see what it's doing to the aquifer by irrigating on the surface. Just one water study, $10,000. So the $100,000 over the space of time, depending on how in-depth the water study is going to be, this pond study is going to be, whether you do some field trips or do these studies, call in some experts. The idea is we have to start getting a hold of a handle on this. Maybe we need to do more education. Maybe we do need to do more enforcement. But I think that's what the idea of having the pond study, having the committee dig into it and say, how are we going to fix the problems that are starting to come? Because illegal use of ponds, illegal building of ponds, even legal ponds, have we got good data on the effect underground, the aquifers, or the effect downstream in a stream area? And with the drought conditions we've been having around Montana, we're not quite up with the knowledge that we need to have and how to take care of the mitigations.
Thank you, Representative Logie. Is there anyone here on this bill, House Bill 520? Seeing nobody, questions from the committee on the pond study? Seeing none, Representative, would you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee. I would hope some questions, but I hope you understand the need for this study statewide. Like I say, what we're getting all over the state, we're getting a lot of people coming in that don't have the knowledge of what they're even doing to our streams and to our aquifers. And I think, like I say, FWP even the landowners have to get a handle on what's happening. And I think the water study with the water board can actually get at the problems and try and get ahead of what's happening to the water quality and the quantities. Thank you.
Thank you. This closes the hearing on House Bill 520. Members of the committee, we're going to go into recess, go in on the floor for a bit. We may need to leave proxies. We'll only come back to do a little bit of exec later on. For those of you in the House that heard a re-referral come over the line, those bills will either be heard tomorrow afternoon or next week. So we're probably tied up in the morning on other business. So, unless there's something else, we'll go back to the floor for meetings in recess. Cy, go ahead. All right. Senate Finance and Claims will come back out of recess. We are going to do executive action on four bills. We just heard them all.
Mr. Chairman, I move do concur on House Bill 862. This is by Representative Hopkins and me. Prohibit use of public funds for abortion and exceptions.
House Bill 862. Any discussion on the motion to do concur? Seeing none, roll call vote.
Vice Chair Glimm.
Yes.
Vice Chair Ellis.
Nope.
Senator Solomon.
Yes, by proxy.
Senator McGilvery.
Yes.
Senator Boldman.
No.
Senator Bartel.
Yes.
Senator Mandeville.
Yes.
Senator Morgeau.
No.
Senator Lenz.
Aye.
Senator Lang.
Yes.
Senator Lynch.
No.
Senator Bogner.
Yes.
Senator Cuff.
Yes.
Senator Flowers.
No.
Senator Fuller.
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Vance.
Yes.
Senator Pope.
No.
Senator Wellborn.
Yes, by proxy.
Chairman Esp.
Yes.
13 votes yes, 6 votes no.
13-6, the motion carries. House Bill 862 will go to third reading.
Mr. Chairman, I move do concur on House Bill 898. This was by Representative Tuss, revise the Montana Micro Business Development Act. Mr. Chairman.
You've heard the motion. Question, should we try it? Let's do a roll call vote.
Okay. Vice Chair Glimm?
No.
Vice Chair... Where did it...
Ellis.
Okay, sorry. Vice Chair Ellis?
Yes.
Senator Solomon?
No, by proxy.
Senator McGilvery?
No.
Senator Boldman?
Yes.
Senator Bartel?
No.
Senator Mandeville?
No.
Senator Morgeau?
Yes.
Senator Lenz?
Nay.
Senator Lang?
Yes.
Senator Lynch?
Yes.
Senator Bogner?
No.
Senator Cuff?
No.
Senator Flowers?
Yes.
Senator Fuller?
No, by proxy.
Senator Vance?
No.
Senator Pope?
Yes.
Senator Wellborn?
No, by proxy.
Chairman Esp?
Yes.
9 votes yes, 10 votes no. Unless I was...
I thought it was 8.
Mm-hmm.
11, but...
I might have missed one.
I think it's 8-11, but... Motion fails.
Yeah, I know who it's wrong.
I had 9-10.
Well, whatever it was.
All right, yeah. move to.
It's 8-11.
Reverse the voting table, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, I move do concur on House Bill 949, generally revised education laws related to data governance. This was by Representative Beatty. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. I think maybe it's something we need to do, but if we get good data between OCHE and K-12 and...
Mr. Chair, it sounds like a nice to have. If we can't support small businesses, I don't think I can support bureaucracy. I'll be a no.
All right.
Mr. Chair.
Yes?
You don't have to do anything.
I'm not. Shiny guy.
That's better when it comes to money. Here.
Yep. But let me rephrase that. I thought it made sense. Apparently, I'm in the minority. Let's do a roll call vote.
Vice Chair Glimm?
No.
Vice Chair Ellis?
Yes.
Senator Solomon?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator McGilvery?
No.
Senator Boldman?
Yes.
Senator Bartel?
No.
Senator Mandeville?
No.
Senator Morgeau?
Yes.
Senator Lenz?
Nay.
Senator Lang?
No.
Senator Lynch? Senator Bogner?
Yes.
Senator Cuff?
No.
Senator Flowers?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Fuller?
No, by proxy.
Senator Vance?
No.
Senator Pope?
Yes.
Senator Wellborn?
No.
Chairman Esp?
Yes.
8 votes yes, 11 votes no.
Vice Chair Glimm?
Mr. Chairman, I move to reverse the voting table.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, I move do concur on House Bill 520. This was by Representative Logie for studying ponds.
House Bill 520. You've got the fiscal note in front of you. It's $70,000 the first year, $30,000 the second. Any discussion? Senator Bartel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure that this is a bill that needs to be studied or needs to have any more regulations. I can't remember the number, but when it's out in our country, we already have to get a 310 permit, so they're watching all that stuff when you have federal lands in place. And we also have a county permit that we have to get when we want to do this. But the overreaching issue I think that we would have, it would just come out bad for us. This is in our country, and I'm sure in a lot of folks' country, in cattle country, the average ranch probably has 30 of these ponds. And if we got to go through and let them study it and come up with some stuff that shouldn't be, I mean, we have to have them. And most of that is all rainwater. And I read the bill, and it does not spell out what you do with those types of ponds. And so I'm afraid that this thing could get off the rails pretty fast. So I'd just soon leave it alone. So I'll be a no. Thank you.
For discussion, Senator Lenz.
I'm in agreement with Senator Bartel. I wondered what good end would come of this. I use the term Ponzi scheme in jest, but it may actually be, and I'm a no, Mr. Chair.
Senator Lang?
Mr. Chair, I too want to ditto what the two senators ahead of me have said. I agree with that. I respect the fact that in Senator Flowers' area there's a problem there maybe, but it has to be something they should be thinking about with the expansion of the area and the resources they have, but I can't support the bill.
For the discussion, Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this on Senator Logie or Representative Logie's bill?
Yeah, part of 20.
Yeah. gather my thoughts here for a second. We've got now in the Gallatin Valley over 12,000 acres of recreational ponds. Think about that. Think about the evaporation coming off of those ponds. And one of the issues is for senior water right holders, how is that affecting their water rights? And this is a critical issue. And for the amount of money that's involved with this study, this is the least we can do. Water is gold, as we know, in this state, and this is a piece of that puzzle that without this study, we're going to continue to flounder, and in areas like the Gallatin Valley, you're going to see those ponds continue to proliferate, and then you're going to see some poorly thought out, not well-crafted solutions to fix this, and we're going to struggle with these over the next couple sessions to try and figure this out. Let's just take the time, study the issue, come up with some reasonable solutions. I think the Interim Water Policy Committee is fully capable of taking this on and coming back to us with some recommendations. Otherwise, I think we are jeopardizing our ag producers who are relying on that water. And obviously, it also affects, the adjacent rivers and streams. So I think this is a small price to pay to set ourselves up to actually address this issue in an informed way, hopefully in the next session. Thank you.
Senator Morgeau.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, committee members, I agree with Senator Flowers. I think the big part of this is how it impacts the aquifer. And I think that's, when talking with the sponsor, that's what he's really trying to get at, is what are the impacts of this ponds to the aquifer? And it's something that, I grew up in an area where people put in ponds pretty regularly. And I think $100,000 total, $70,000 and $30,000. I think it's not a lot of money to do a little bit of work on this front just to see what some of those impacts are.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question.
I wonder, listening, because I missed the hearing, if there's a way to amend this so that the rancher does not feel threatened, but the recreational pond is the actual focus of the study, and if we have to do this bill right now, if you would give us an opportunity to try to do something that would split the whatever, the issue.
I think that's what Moses did.
is there room, Mr. Chairman? Is there a room where someplace maybe in Section C, Senator Wellborn is familiar with that, he's familiar with WPIC?
Senator Cuff, if you're on the record, you got to turn your mic on, lean forward.
Mr. Chairman, what the question was, Senator Wellborn is familiar with Section C, is familiar with WPIC, and what I was wondering is if there might be some room, some money someplace that might be used for this kind of work, without the money in it.
Well, short of being within like the Department of Fish, Wildlife and Parks existing budget, but there very well could be. I mean, that might be something that we could look at. I mean, WPIC could absolutely do the work.
I think the bill directs it towards EQC.
Yeah. But we amended that. Well, I thought that was amended.
If Vice Chair Glimmer withdraws motion, I'll just leave this sit, and you guys can come up with something if you can.
Okay. Can I?
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw my motion.
Yeah, that's fine. Mr. Chair, can I add something to the discussion real quick?
Sure.
Thank you. Members, this issue goes back as long as I've been here. In 2009, there was a bill brought to House Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, which I served on. And what the proposal was at that time was to control the building of ponds by denying fishing licenses and the pond license. And those licenses, I believe, have to be renewed every 10 years. And that was the wrong approach, too. I mean, because basically it was a quasi way to outlaw ponds by if it was, from mitigated water or groundwater, you just couldn't have renewed your license, and that's the wrong approach too. But I think Senator Flowers is right on point. If we don't take the time and dig in, drill down on this issue in a thoughtful, meaningful way, at some point in time, legislatures changed, institutional knowledge goes away, and somebody may bring something again that does stick to the wall when they throw it that will be a heck of a lot worse than what might come out of a thoughtful study. So I guess I would encourage us to try to move forward in some fashion just for the good of the process.
I'm with giving you a chance to figure that out.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'll lead an effort to try to get a couple people together to get an amendment.
All right. You might include a couple of these old rancher types over here. So, members of the committee, we are going to be back in here at 8 in the morning with a bunch of bills. We're going to hear at least one bill at 3 o'clock. I would like the vice chairs of the subcommittees to meet with staff after we hear the one bill tomorrow afternoon to go over floor action in your sections. If there's anything else for the good of the order, otherwise we can go back to work on the other room. We'll return at 8 a.m. here. Meeting is adjourned.